We're in the studio now. This is a Vinyl Decision Show. My name is Mark Thomas. And what we do on this show is we invite special superstar guests in. and not the superstar. We get them to choose an album, a vinyl album of their choice. And we have the turntable set up in the middle of our studio here. And it's currently rotating away. And we listen to it. They choose their album that has been the biggest influence on their musical life or their growing up, their whatever. Today we're in the studio with Jeff Ruffhausen, we're going to call him. Got as far as his middle name. His middle name Star, the same as Ringo. So Jeff Ruffhausen. Yep. And before we talk about the album, a little bit of background about yourself. Why Ruffhausen? That's the name of your band. Yeah?
Oh, that's a terribly off-color story.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, damn, I loved off-color.
Your lovely engineer was correct. It is German. It came from a German girlfriend that was a girl I was dating at the time.
Oh, I'm good.
Roughhousing in Canadian slang is when kids start fighting or playing too hard.
Yeah, that's about right.
So. Just a play on that.
Very nice. But you're not currently. You've removed yourself from the music industry.
Yeah, I'm not touring anymore. I'm sound checked out, I think.
Just those. And you're more into carpentry. I know you're doing.
I switched gears and started doing that. The money's more consistent, and there are no ugly promoters to deal with.
And the wood doesn't talk back to you or steal your
correct.
Money.
Yeah. I still do the occasional remix, but that's few and far between.
Right. So how long before you get back into it? Do you think you ever will?
Don't know.
Okay. I think with music, if you're not into it, there's no point doing it.
If you don't have something to say, you shouldn't be saying anything. And if you're doing it just for money and you're not loving it anymore, you need to step out.
Okay. Now, I know Jeff's background in music a little bit, and I think his band name is Ruffhausen, but I think to give him a bit of a clue, it's probably Ruffhausen or something like that. So you might have an idea of the kind of music he would have been doing. And so his choice of record today, when I asked him onto the show, surprised me a little bit. What did you bring in for us, Jeff?
Prince's 1999, which, by the way, is 30 years old next month.
Really?
Really. Next month in October, it's 30.
Okay. For some reason, I thought it came out just before 1999, but obviously it hadn't.
No, 83, I think. I was just a kid when it came out. I didn't know it when it came out. I rediscovered it later.
Okay. Well, that's good. I think that most people... I don't know. The first albums I ever listened to as a kid were quite old albums as well. It wasn't like I know I grew up with Simon and Garfunkel and Elton John because that was my mum's cassettes that she had lying around the house, and I would play them as a very, very young kid. So I think a lot of earliest influence you get with music would come from an older era, maybe.
Because it's your parents' music?
Possibly parents. I don't know. Maybe it's just more accessible. I don't know.
Well, my parents were hippies, so, I mean, I heard, you know, America and
oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
But my musical taste...
A horse with no name.
Yeah. Which I thought that was Neil Young forever.
Oh, really?
Really. Really.
I quite like the song, but I wouldn't admit it on air. Okay.
Done. Cut that bit out.
Okay, so we're in the studio with Jeff and the wonderful Yvonne and the sadly departed Prince. That was a bit of a shocker, eh?
The 2 weeks before he died, there was that airplane thing where he was removed from his airplane, emergency landing.
Yep.
You know, you knew something was up.
Right, okay.
I just didn't think it was going to be an overdose.
No.
You know?
It was sad. How old was he?
Early 50s, like 55, 56, not that old, maybe 57.
Really quite a long way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, he had an amazing career. He put out a ton of albums, and the album we're going to go through today is the 1999 double album by Prince.
Don't worry, I won't hurt you. I only want you to have some fun. We'll be right back.
And there you go, that was the superb Prince. And that guitar at the end, is that him playing there?
It's all him. He's done every single thing on this record. And not because he was, you know, insistent and like selfish, it's just he was too fast and had no patience.
Yeah,
I can do
I
it
could
better
imagine.
Than you and quicker than
yeah.
you. You're yeah. slowing me down.
Yeah, I saw him the other day doing a cover of Radiohead Creep.
Yep.
And I think he totally forgot the words, but it didn't matter because his guitar work was just insane. So you're listening to Vinyl Decision. We're going through Prince's 1999 album with Jeff Ruffhausen. And we're going to try and play as much of the album as possible. Jeff's got a couple of tracks he really wants to hear. But the idea of the show is that we listen to the whole album, if we can. It's a double album, so we're going to see how far we get. But we're going to crack on now. What's the next track, Jeff? Do you know?
I do, but I don't want to break the surprise.
But okay.
I think you should talk a little bit about, I mean, how
go
this was
then.
Put together.
Go on then.
This
is
a 21-year-old kid that did this. 21, 22 when he was recording this.
Really?
By himself, nailing this, a song per day.
Really? How many?
The age is stunning. The fact that he's doing a song per day is stunning. But I just read an interview with the engineer, and you know, he's using a Lindrum for the drums.
Okay.
He didn't program the drums.
I don't know what
he
that means.
He sat there and
okay.
played an electronic drum for okay. a track. He didn't sequence it out.
Wow.
Like, that's just mind-blowing.
He was quite a talent. Yeah,
he was
21.
He would sit down with the entire arrangement already in his head finished and just lay it to tape. One per day.
It must have been nuts working with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I can't just imagine.
But I suppose it would have been a privilege and quite terrifying at the same time.
Yeah, probably. A little bit intimidating.
Okay, we're going to carry on the album now, and I think it's Little Red Corvette.
I should know by the way you popped your car sideways that it wouldn't last. It's the other kind of person who believes in making out once, love them and leave them fast. I guess I must be dumb. Shed a pocket full of horses,
Okay, you're listening to Vinyl Decision, and I'm in the studio here with Jeff Raffhausen, and we're listening to Prince's album 1999, and Prince is seriously messing around with us now, because we're trying to play the album, but he keeps dropping tracks, This next track coming up is 7 minutes long, followed by the next one, which is 8 minutes long.
The rest of the record is basically 7 to 8 minutes long per piece.
So what we're going to try and do, we're going to try and work around Prince's genius. It was undoubted genius. Have we got a year for the album, Jeff?
I think it was released in late 82, early 83.
Wow. Okay, and you would say he was 21.
He was 21 when he was recording, 21 and 22 when he was recording it, from October to January.
It takes a lot of balls for a young man to put out a double album with 7 and 8 minute long tracks where he is.
And the record company's pushing back hard against this.
And he would have done pretty much all of the production.
He did almost
the composition.
All of the composition, played almost everything, and basically had an engineer in the room. That whose job was to make sure that the mic was on and the guitar was plugged in. And I'm going, move.
Superb. Yeah, no, it is pure genius. And I suppose at that age, you're going to have to be fairly tough with the record company and the people around you to get them to listen.
He was tough at 18. There are stories of him on tour with Rick James where he was already laying a slap down at Rick James, and he's an 18-year-old kid. I'll tell one of those stories later on in the bit. It's just hilarious.
Oh, my God. Okay, brilliant. Okay, we're going to carry on with Prince now. And this is Let's Pretend We're Married.
Help me forget the girl.
Okay, we're in the studio with Jeff here. We're talking about Prince. It's very, very hard to listen to the album and not... I mean, we've been talking all the way through the track about what a genius he was and et cetera, et cetera. And you did mention that he pretty much was grooming himself all his life to do that thing.
Yeah, there are a lot of stories from high school friends and whatnot that high school he started preparing himself to be a rock star, and they of course thought he was just being a fool, but he had a plan, you know, and he was making sure that he had the right attitude, the right clothes, and the right persona to be a star.
Well, I mean, the funny thing is, I mean, you're saying that he made this album when he was
21, 22, he was doing the recording.
And I'm looking at the covers of his earlier album, and he looks like an already groomed, done and dusted rock star, and he must have been 17 or 18 years old.
I think the first album he was 17 years old. Yeah. And for a major record company to give a 17-year-old kid carte blanche, like complete open book to do whatever he wanted for a record, self-produced, play every, you know what I mean? That's an incredible amount of faith in a kid.
Was that Warner, was it, I think?
Yeah. And he pulled it off. I mean, he killed it.
Everybody has a kind of idea about Prince, and I don't think anybody's really
quite
right.
Like as a person or the musician?
About what they perceive Prince as.
That's part of his genius. He created so many different personas. Yeah. Which one is him? Which was the right one? Which was the true one?
Yeah, maybe there wasn't. Maybe we never saw the real one, but... And whatever, we're grateful for the output. We're listening to 1999 now on a Vinyl Decision. We got so much records, music on this album, we're struggling to fit it all in here, so we're going to carry on. What's this? This is the track you really wanted to hear.
DMSR, Dance Music Sex Romance. Killer track, amazing funk, bass line is just ridiculous, and this is one of these things where he sat down and played the Lynn drum like an instrument from beginning to end with nothing else, and they went and just layered every instrument on top of it. It's ridiculously talented.
Superb. We'll be right back.
somebody said dance, dance, music, music, sex, sex, romance.
Hi, Yvonne's telling me to talk. Okay, I'm talking. What shall I talk about? We're talking about Prince, of course. And I was just looking at the inner sleeves there, Jeff, of the credits for that last track. The only other musicians credited were people clapping their hands in that. It's just
insane. Can you imagine being a musician in Minneapolis trying to pick up checks in a bar and like, I'm hand clap number three. I play for Prince.
Yeah, I clapped a little bit on the track. So he played absolutely every single instrument.
Yeah.
He wrote it, he produced it, he arranged it.
In a day, one song per day. That's just obscene.
And he did the backing vocals. Yes. So he actually sung the song and then went back and sung over himself.
And he was gracious enough to let other people do backing vocals as he told them to do exactly, note for note. Do it this way.
It's quite bizarre. It's more, and you're saying that since he's died, we're learning a lot more about him and the recording.
Yeah. Well, all of the people that worked for him were not allowed to talk about him. And if you worked for him and then left, you still could not talk about him because he had more lawyers than you.
Yeah.
But now we get to hear, you know, personal stories, stuff about the recordings.
I mean, he was so into his music and that.
And God.
And God. We'll leave that one out of it.
So there's a big confliction there. I mean, he had some serious personality struggles going on.
Towards the end, yeah.
Throughout.
Okay. Yeah. So he was always, well, I mean, a lot of the songs are very sexy.
And then he would balance it out with the religious
song. And then he goes
back
and apologize.
Yeah. Apparently, all of the sexy stuff, you know, there was like a pattern where he would do a really raunchy song on a Friday. And then on a Sunday, generally, she said that on Sunday he did these right. really personal religious songs. And she was like, is that really how simple it is?
Yeah.
I on a Sunday, you're going to talk
really
to God?
I really wish it was that easy.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to carry on with it. I think we've done so much talking and played so much music. We're pretty much getting to the end of the show today. So what we're going to try and do, I think I'm going to try and slip in one more song, and then hopefully we'll be able to fit it all in. It's another 8-minute number.
But it's brilliant. It's one song that's everything he's good at. Social commentary, the politics of sex and God and race relations, and killer guitar playing.
He was quite socially active in almost a lot of his music.
Every song has a little aspect of something in there.
Good.
It makes the point.
Okay, so what is the name of this track?
Lady Jeff? Cab Driver.
This is for the women, so beautifully complex. is for the wind and it blows, no matter how fast or slow. Not knowing where I'm going, this galaxy's better than not having a place to go. Now I know.
And there it is. That was some amazing guitar work on there.
Yes, it was.
And you can play that one, yeah? Can you play it as well as Prince, though?
No, like I'm going to admit to that on air. I used to know a lot of his material. I used to play a lot of his material in my downtime just to keep fresh and sort of practiced. You know? And it was very different when I was working and when I was touring, so it's nice.
Yeah, it is good. It's very beautiful. Well, thank you. We are coming to the end of the show now, and it's, as always on these shows, I mean, we're playing the vinyl in the studio, so we sat here listening to it, and we're not doing any, like, weird tricks or anything. We're actually sitting here listening to it and chatting away.
We're going to hug it out now?
We will go hug it out over a cold something or other. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, it was quite beautiful. It's the first time that I've listened to this album all the way through, maybe ever. I mean, I've always been a Prince fan. I was fans of... It was the Sign of the Times, Love Sexy, Revolution.
Yeah, the golden period.
Yeah, I was... But this album, I've not really listened... And that was just beautiful. And I enjoyed listening to it with you. So thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts on it. Okay, thank you. It's been a wonderful vinyl decision. I want to say thank you to Yvonne for that, and especially thanks to Jeff Ruffhausen for bringing us Prince 1999.
Cheers.
To me that you could use the day tonight. Body better do you right. Tell me, am I qualified? I said, baby, I know it's hard to believe. This body here is free tonight. Ooh, you're very own first class flight. My plane's parked right outside, baby. Don't you wanna go for a ride? International lover. Yeah, that's right.
satisfaction. Please bring your lips, your arms, your hips to the upped and locked position. Until the aircraft has come to a complete stop. Thank you for flying Prince International. Remember, the next time you fly,